Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Jim Berlin, founder and CEO at Logistics Plus. And we welcome you to this special edition of Business Spotlight featuring Logistics Plus, as it's the first of our year-end programs, and these are some of our favorite shows to do as we close one year and look into the next, as in this case, it's a look back at 2022 and a look forward to 2023. And joining us once again is the founder and CEO of Logistics Plus, Jim Berlin. Jim, it's always great to catch up with you. It's hard to believe it's been a year since we last did this already. How have you been since we last spoke at the end of 2021?
Good. Time flies, man. It's a fast year. It's funny, the older you get, I say it's like a toilet. You know, life goes round and round and round and gets faster, faster, faster. Then you go down the chute. That's how it's starting to feel to me. It's getting faster each year.
Well, I get the analogy, but I don't think it was the case as far as Logistics Plus is concerned, Jim. And as the year comes to a close, what kind of year was 2022 for LP?
Interesting, as always. The rapid growth continued. So actually, even though, so we're 26 years now, and last year was our record year. And, you know, and if you can go up a little bit from that, that's good. We're going to double that. I mean, which is insane. I mean, when you're a small company starting out, you can double every year, and that's great growth and hard to maintain. But 25 years in, to double a record year, that's like really nuts. But we've done it, and it's, I'm not sure how we did it, but we've maintained the growth and figured it out and had a very successful growth both in the U.S. and around the world. So knock on wood, it's been a great year, and hopefully we're going to fly into next year as well, keep it going.
With all the challenges there are right now in logistics, hearing you say that LP doubled in its growth, that is just an insane stat.
Well, and it was a record year. So even with the challenges, it was a record year. And then double that. So not we'll have to sit down at some point and figure out how that all happened. But it's happening. And it's been great because we've been able to bring in a lot of new people. We did a lot of hiring. I think in Erie alone, I think we hired like 50 people this year. That's just in Erie. And it's good jobs, and you know, it pays pretty well, and people like being here. We've opened up warehouses all across the country. So I think this year alone, a second one or a third one in Chicago, a couple more in Erie and around Erie, in Meadville and Jamestown, in Phoenix, almost a million square feet in Phoenix. In Southern California, two new facilities there. In Miami, another one. In North Carolina, a new one. So just, and it's not, you know, that warehousing is just one part of what we do. That alone has been incredible growth. So it's kind of, there's an old story I tell about the spider and walking in the woods, runs into a centipede. And the spider says, "Hey, centipede, I've been hoping to run into you because I have a question for you." "Hey, what's that, spider?" He says, "Well, I got eight legs, and just moving them one at a time to get down the road, it's hard. You got 1,000 legs. How do you do it?" And the centipede sat down, thought about it, never moved again. It's kind of like us. We just keep going.
Jim, if I may, all the conversations that we've had with you throughout the years, the one observation we could take away is your management style is a take on every challenge one at a time type approach. Is that a fair assessment?
I guess so. Take it as it comes. Roll with the punches, you know, figure things out. I always joke we have no strategy, no plan, which is true. There's no plan. The strategy is to grow. And, you know, I see you come into work every day and who knows what's going to happen today, just like this morning. Get a call for new business to Ukraine that came out of the blue, big project. I didn't know that was not on my plan for the day. And you got bumped for a few minutes so I could meet with that guy. But that's kind of how it is here, and I guess the secret to that, you know, fortunate success, is if you just keep doing a good job, more of that happens, you know, and you don't know where it's going to come from, but word spreads, and It's one thing leading to another. You know, it's a great way to grow.
And I know this is something we've brought up several times when we've had these conversations, but your approach of not being obsessed with numbers and targets, it's hard to argue how successful that approach has been for you.
Well, we saw. So say if your goal is to go 10%, do you not go 20%? I mean, like, to me, it's like our thing is just let's grow. Let's see how far we can take this thing. I don't want people to aim for it because I learned in my old trucking business, if you had a target, you aim to that target because, you know, that's how you got judged. And a lot of times you could have beat that target, but no need to because that's what we had to do. So to me, why limit, you know, people and possibilities? Be open to whatever comes and figure it out.
Why limit people and possibilities? Love that answer. Good stuff. Well, we know from our monthly interviews throughout the year that a lot has been going on at LP. As we reflect on this year, were there any specific accomplishments or milestones that you'd like to mention?
Not really. Just that we've been able to find a lot of good people. And one thing I can say is that, so we've always been good at bringing in some of these young kids in the Erie area. I always said you go to school, you get a good education at local colleges, and then really if you want to get a good paying job in a cool company, for years you had to leave town. You know, there are a few options, but not many. And we've become, an option of choice for a lot of kids who have a good education and skills and can work for a global company that's based in Erie. So they don't have to leave for a cool job. So that's always been the case. What's changed recently, though, I think, is that we've hired a lot of what you call higher-end people with experience who we've worked with for years, and they worked for other bigger companies. And I think what's happened is, I don't know if they're afraid of their companies getting smaller, so they're looking to jump, or if those companies got so big they're not fun anymore. And a lot of these guys who are big shots actually came up in companies like ours where they did everything and it was fun and exciting and who knew where you're going to be the next day. And I think a lot of them are now saying, you know what, I'd like to get back to that. So we've had a spate of maybe six or eight, like really kind of high-end people that have come to work this year for us, not at the same salaries that we're getting, you know, in New York or Chicago or L.A., but realizing that they'll make a little less money but have more fun and more freedom to do what they love to do. And that's been kind of really good for us because we're playing in a bigger sandbox now and have people who know that world and know all the carriers and know all the tricks of the trade kind of better than we've learned it has been a great addition. And then they can kind of come in and show some of these kids. I always joke, you know, these kids here have had a great work ethic and, you know, they want to run through a wall. You've got to tell them which wall to run through. And these guys can kind of help steer these, you know, younger kids, newer kids to, okay, this is the way we're going, you know. So it's been a good, very good mix, and it's been kind of seamless. And as always with us, it wasn't part of a plan. It wasn't thought out. It just kind of, you know, organic, kind of came to us. And we saw, okay, that makes sense. Let's try that. And it's been a very successful change a little bit.
It's funny that you mention bringing on employees that came from other bigger companies making that transition to LP. We just had on Michael Scally in the episode that preceded this business spotlight. So we're hearing these examples of that on this program.
So this whole thing originated when I got fired, as you know, from the trucking company. And the guy that came up from New Jersey corporate office to fire me was a guy named Bruce Kennedy. And he fired me, and 44 years old, out of my butt, two kids in high school ready to go to college. What do you do? Well, I started this. And afterwards, I thanked him. You know, I said, man, thank you for kicking me in the butt because I never would have left and got me started in this Logistics Plus. Well, a few years later, his company that I had worked for, same company, closed. And he came to work for us. Became our vice president, and he's a trucking guy, LTL trucking guy, and knows more about LTL than anybody in the world, or as much as anybody in the world. Really an expert, great guy. And when he fired me, it wasn't personal, just the business decision, and we stayed friends. And so he came back to work for us for maybe 5-6 years as our vice president and did great. Well, he retired. He was in the 70s, and he retired. And I reached out to him like a month ago, and I said, hey, Bruce, you know, like we need to find ways to get back in touch with some of the corporate big shots that you know that we really don't know anymore. And I said, can you help us out a bit? And he said, you know what? why don't we do a road trip? And I'll come back. And I said, you come back, you do that from retirement for us? He says, I'd do anything for you. He says, the years I spent working at LP were the best working years of my life. You know, that was so touching to me, you know, like that he feels that way. And he's going to do a few road trips for us to help us get back in the doors where he was and, you know, get us back in there. So, but there's a lot of that. I mean, to me, like I said, we have one rule here, treat people right. I mean, if you treat people right, I think you get that back in return.
Wow, I'm sure that story is one of many that you could tell with similar circumstances. Let's transition to the next question. It seems LP is always growing and expanding into new areas. Did LP expand any specific service offerings or geographic locations in 2022?
Ukraine. You know, one, because it's the right thing to do, and two, because we have a very strong connection to Ukraine, both through Yuri, who's our COO, runs the day-to-day operations, through our office we've had for years in Ivano-Frankivsk, which is western Ukraine. And then we opened up another office in Kiev and one in Odessa. And I know we don't want to get into politics of it all, but I do think this is more than just a battle between Ukraine and Russia. I think this is kind of which direction does the world go to the rule of law or to the rule of power. And so I think this is a big, important battle we're involved in. So we've opened up offices there and in Poland to support those. And they grow in Poland as well. But we think that's, we hope Ukraine wins the war, and then we hope that it becomes more of part of the West, and we won't be part of that. So for both political and kind of personal reasons, above and beyond any business, that's kind of the thing I'm most proud of this year. And we've also opened up new offices in Malaysia and in Vietnam and Brazil. I mean, we're just kind of growing. And again, no plan, but just opportunity. You know, you find someone who says, hey, you know, you guys want somebody good to work for you. And we look at them and say, okay, yeah. Or you have a customer that says, can you do this in a different country? And we'll try that. And if we do well, we stay. And that's always been our, you know, we started with GE. GE took us around the world as they globalized with Jack Welch in the late 90s. And those offices are still there 20-something years later, you know. So you just do a good job and you grab a foothold, you know, grab a bit of sand and hang on, you know.
And I want to follow up with you in regards to what you just mentioned about LP and what you've done in Ukraine. There's another situation that more than likely wasn't part of the roadmap in 2022, yet for the reasons you just mentioned, you take on that challenge, and it's because of the philosophy of not having those limits that we mentioned earlier in the program.
Yeah, I always say if there's an opportunity that seems like, okay, what's the upside? What's the downside? It will kill us if it doesn't work, and what's the expense to try to make it work? And if the feel comes out like, yeah, this is worth trying. If it doesn't work, not the end of the world. That's really all it takes. It's like, obviously, one good person or one solid customer in any area of the world, and we'll go from there. That's how we started. I mean, when G took me around the world with them, and I hired people to support the vendors that G had around the world shipping to locomotive parts theory, I told all those guys, I said, look, you are 100% dedicated to GE, because that's who's paying us to have you here. But anything over 100%, find other business, because who knows how long that this will last. And so they, you know, they did, and we're still there, and we still have GE as a customer, but we have a lot of other customers now, which I said I was never a good business guy, but I knew what one customer is not a good model.
And Jim, this question kind of coincides with what we were just discussing a few moments ago. There's a lot going on around the world that is impacting Logistics Plus right now, like the aforementioned war in Ukraine. Now you've got unrest in China and surrounding countries. What can you tell us about the challenges that Logistics Plus faces today on the global front?
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion. It's tough, and it's always there. It's worse now, certainly. COVID, you know, made it bad. The Russia and China situations make it tougher. But, you know, you can't – I always joke, you know, show me a company that had COVID-19 in any 2019 business plan. None of them did, and yet it became the overriding issue for the next 2 years. So same here. There's things that are going to happen. I'm not sure anyone can predict them. The experts try, but they're wrong as much as they're right. So you just, to me, like, you roll with the flow. You got to try to see what's coming and be ready for, be nimble, be ready to react and have plan B, C, D, and E in the back pocket in case you need it. You know, that's what we did during COVID. I'm not sure you can plan that out ahead of time or see it coming, but you can sense something coming, and then you'd be ready to be, you know, be nimble and on your toes and move quickly. You know, that's kind of our MO. We can respond a lot. We're not like a big, you know, aircraft carrier. You know, we're more PT boat. We can move quickly and respond, change direction quicker.
And much like 2021, so many things that are out of your control, supply chain bottlenecks, inflation, rising transportation costs, yet you always try to do right by your customer. And so here in 2022, how was Logistics Plus able to navigate these challenges both for the company and your customers?
It can be hard. Like I said, when things go easy with the shipment, the guy, the trucker picks it up today, delivered tomorrow, it's easy. It's when things go south that it gets hard. And that's what I always stress when we try to hire people, is that we can teach them the skills, how to move stuff, which is basically what we do. But, you know, you have to have someone with a mentality like that when it's easy to say no because something went wrong, it wasn't your fault, truck broke down or the bridge is out or strike somewhere. I mean, there's things that happen. And then you can go to the customer and say, well, sorry, that happened, not getting delivered, which a lot of companies do. We don't do that. And I tell people when we hire them, like, we're going to work all night, we're going to work all weekend to solve this somehow. It's not going to be easy. And if you don't like that, then, you know, this is one, probably not the right industry for you, but two, not the right company, because we will do that. And that's why I think we don't lose customers very often and why they call us for the next thing, because they know we don't leave them alone. And where a lot of companies will point, hey, call the trucker, he screwed up. Well, we chose the trucker. Like, that's our, we own this shipment. And until it gets delivered, it's on our plate. Don't you worry about it. You worry about your business, we'll find the best way to get it there. And that is, it's hard to do. It's hard to, you know, find an answer sometimes. And it's hard to call a customer and say, you know, I shipped my promise to be delivered by Friday. It's not going to be there. That's a hard call to make. But you got to make it. And you can't let them hear from the customer that nothing showed up. So you find people that have a little bit of fire in their belly and are willing to take that on. That's what I think the difference is with our people. They own it. And they can't, I call it GAS, you know, give up. You know what? And that's an important part of our culture.
Jim, earlier in the program, you brought up bringing on nearly 50 new employees this year, just in Erie alone. As LP continues to grow, have you been able to find the talented employees to keep up with the demand? And what are your overall thoughts on the labor market in Erie right now?
It's been good. I mean, a lot of people knock the younger generation and, you know, the millennials, and there's a question of work ethic and commitment, and I get that. I mean, there's a whole philosophical discussion about that, but, you know, this whole idea of, you know, work-life balance, okay. I mean, but I always say, you know, it's not one or the other, because work is what enables you to have a good life, and if you work hard and you make decent money, then you can provide for your wife, or your kids, your husband. That's kind of, so it's, to me, it's connected. It's not, it's two sides of a coin. It's not one or the other. So we stress that. But also, I think these kids come in and they see everyone doing whatever it takes to keep the customer satisfied. And so it's more of a leading by an example to see that, you know, these guys, oh man, it's 5 o'clock, but they're still trying to figure out how to deliver the shipment by tomorrow, because you can't come back tomorrow and do it because it's too late. And that's the nature of our business. And we tell people up front, like, you may not like that. And if you don't like it, don't come here. Because once in a while, not always, but occasionally, you're going to need to work till it's done. And that's, you may have dinner plans or soccer game. And, sorry, but if it's your shipment, you gotta deliver it. So we stay that up front so no one can say, you didn't tell me. That's part of the deal here. But we have had, I think the kids here kind of love it here. We give them a lot of freedom. It's not a big rule book manual, and you're given a lot of latitude, and, you know, quickly can take on things and, like, wow, I'm running this thing right here. I'm I'm working for Google now, you know, I mean, real quick. And so the ones that have that kind of, I call it the fire in the belly and the kind of light in the eye, you know, that they want challenges. And I would say people that want to, you know, be patted on the head and told what to do and every day checking back, that doesn't work very well here. It's more people that want to say, okay, let me at them, and I'm going to screw up. And when they screw up, you can't shoot them. You got to give them a hug and say, okay, that didn't work. What'd you learn? Don't do it again. And now go get them. And some people can't, that's not their way. You know, some people like, thank you for that, and I'll do better next time. So you can't tell, it's funny, you can't tell from the resumes, and you can't even tell from an interview. Some people can interview well, and you really can only tell when you see how they respond in the under fire, you know. But we've been real lucky. Erie's got a good work ethic. It's a working class town. I mean, so these kids usually don't come from money. I mean, they're not entitled. I mean, their professors might tell them they're entitled, but we beat that out of them quickly. And here, you know, you earn, like to me, I use the example of the NFL. I mean, like, I wouldn't pay a rookie billions of dollars. Like, Josh Allen, I'd pay a lot of money to because he's shown who he is. But until you prove that, like, you might have the greatest pedigree in the world, but you might be a bust. You might be a Ryan Leaf, you know, and first-round pick that never makes it. So settle down. Show us how good you are. If you're good, we're not going to want to lose you. So come in, show what you got, and I'll keep you happy because I don't want you to leave.
Anyone that has listened to these business spotlights with you, Jim, over the course of the last few years, know that you're proud of all the accolades that Logistics Plus gets, but the ones that you're the most proud of are the Best Place to Work awards. So why does LP continue to pull in those awards, and why is it such a great company, in particularly for the younger generation that you just spoke of, to work for?
I don't know. I think it's that freedom we give people. And we're a global company. I mean, our unofficial motto is humbly conquering the world from Erie, Pennsylvania, you know. So, you know, it gives you a chance to work with the biggest companies in the world, and you still live in home in Erie. A lot of our guys travel. Young kids travel we do installs all around the world. So they'll go to, you know, Australia or Vietnam and set up a server farm, you know. I mean, like, it's, we go to hotels around the world, set those up, warehouses all around the world. So I think it's a kind of an adventure. The old Army line, it's not just a job, it's an adventure. That's what I feel about us. I don't know where you'll be on Monday, but chances are it could be someplace cool and you'll be having fun. That's kind of so. And some people love that, and some people are like, they don't want that. And you have to kind of sort that out beforehand so you don't have an awkward situation.
In addition to having your own fitness center at Union Station, I understand, Jim, you opened your own coffee bar in the building a few months ago. That must be an amazing perk for your Erie employees.
So we're Google before Google. Yeah, it's not enough people take advantage of them, but it's here. And we have a trainer. We have a very nice gym. We have a lady that comes in and does massages, chair massages once a week. We've opened up a coffee shop because we're getting bigger. You know, it used to be 30 of us in here. Now there's a couple hundred, and we're Erie Times News building too. So the coffee shop was, a way for people to get out of away from their desk, go sit in a room where there's people from other departments sitting there. You know, when we started, it was five of us, and we're all in the same Dodge Caravan driving back and forth from Jamestown. Now it's a lot bigger now, so you need to get people to know each other, and the coffee shop was the way to do that.
Staying with the theme of award recognition, Logistics Plus was recently presented with an Outstanding Philanthropic Organization Award by the Northwestern Pennsylvania Chapter of the Association of Fundraising Professionals as part of National Philanthropy Day. Congratulations on that award, and I think on behalf of all of us at WPSE, thanks for all that you do within the community. Why is local philanthropy so important to you for LP?
We're part of the community, yeah. I mean, you got to give back, and it's nice to see Erie coming up a little bit and getting better. And I always used to joke that when I go around the world and tell people I was from America, they go, oh, yeah, cool, you know. And from where? Erie, Pennsylvania. They didn't know. But now they know a little better. And, you know, you want to see the town that we're based in. And I love, so that's the thing, I love that our company is based here. So it's like the buying local thing. You know, you can go. I mean, I shop at Walmart a lot. Great store and great stuff. But when you buy at Walmart, the profits go to, you know, Bensenville, Arkansas. When you buy from a local shop, the profits stay in Erie. And same with us. We're, you know, our corporate headquarters here, so anything that comes in ends up in Erie. And then we can reinvest that back into the community. So people, I think, you know, a lot of the local customers use us already. But it's smarter to do that than the big guys or corporate, you know, elsewhere, because this is not their home base. This is our home base.
Jim, I think we say this every year, and I know you're not a crystal ball guy. I don't even think it's the first time I've referenced that analogy doing these year-end programs with you and LP. But as Logistics Plus moves towards its 27th anniversary next August, what do you see 2023 looking like both for LP and the broader logistics industry?
I still hope to see growth. I think a lot of our customers are solid, even though there's a rough season coming. I think the world's going to slow down a little bit, although no one's even sure about that. But yeah, I mean, we're still like plowing ahead. We're still finding new customers, taking on new business, opening new locations. Because even if it does slow down for a little while, I mean, one thing that's nice about us, you know, we're privately owned, we're debt free, we have money in the bank, so you can weather some storms. And frankly, my old accountant from Jamestown used to say, you know, times like this are great times for companies that are solid, because other companies, if they have debt they have to pay, if, you know, loans they have to pay off, interest now is high, they can't afford it. We don't have any loans we have to pay. Our money's in the bank. So other companies like ours might get in trouble, and or their employees might get scared, and all of a sudden you get a new batch of people that want to come to a safer place. So, I mean, you hate to say this, you're taking advantage of a bad situation, but it's not nothing we're doing. It's just that I think companies like ours come out of these things stronger than a lot of them that are extended.
Yeah, with that being said, I'm sure you would like to experience a year without a war in Ukraine or a year without supply chain bottlenecks, for example.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, no one wants to see that. But I'm talking about the recession, though. I mean, there's a, you know, recession, if people were paying 2% on their debt, and now they're paying 5 or 8%, all of a sudden your $1 million payment is a $3 million payment. You might not be able to make that. So to me, you know, capitalism is cyclical. There's these times where things are good, and there's times where things get rough. And when things get rough, the strong survive. And I hope we're one of those. I think we're fine. And so we keep plugging ahead. I don't see any let up in our growth. Could be wrong. We'll see. Time will tell.
Jim, we're getting close to the end of the program. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to mention or update for the listening audience?
Just that, you know, I mean, it's funny that young people have never seen this, what's coming. We've seen the economy go down. They've never felt that. So it's kind of a good time, good experience to go through that. Because the last time, you remember, was like 2008, 2009, when the world crapped the bed and it was very tough. And that was the year we had layoffs and we lost customers because they went out of business. So it was very hard, and it sucked. I hated it. But actually, we did real well as far as our net profit margin went up, because we watched every penny, and I hated watching every penny. It's not my style. But we got better. We watched every penny. We got the books under much more control. We billed more quickly. We paid properly. I mean, did a lot of things that we hated at the time. But looking back, that made us much stronger for now. So it's good for people to experience that, because someone who's 25 years old has never seen anything, but any stock they bought went up, and they all think they're geniuses, you know. And it's not that simple, you know. And if you tell them that, oh, yeah, old guy, you don't know what you're talking about. And same with the economy. It's good to experience these a little bit, see a little more seasoned, and know that all times are not good times, and you have to struggle through the tough times as well. So.
Jim, we really do appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us and do another year in review program on Business Spotlight. As you said earlier, you were negotiating and closing a new business deal with a new client before you were able to come on to the air with us. So again, Jim, we really appreciate it. Let's close with this question. And as you know, our primary affiliation as a business news talk station is with Bloomberg. So we hear from top economists worldwide throughout the day. Most prognosticators feel that a recession is inevitable. Being a global company, how will that affect your approach to 2023?
You keep it in mind, and you're right. I mean, everyone's saying it. Sometimes everyone's wrong, but everyone could be right. I mean, so you just, like I said, the nimble part of it and just kind of being quick to react, and I think that's the main thing. We're probably a little more cautious, but basically like opening up new warehouses. I mean, Amazon's closing warehouses. So maybe, like, they're way smarter than we are, I'm sure. Why are they closing when we're opening? That could be a mistake. But, you know, Buffett's thing is you should be buying when everyone else is selling. So maybe that's – so who knows? There's, you know, there's an old saying that every truth has an opposite truth, you know, and that's kind of the case here. It could be that it's a big mistake to keep opening warehouses, but we look at our customers. They seem solid. Their industry seems good, and we think they're going to be there. So we're taking the chance to do that. Might backfire, but hopefully not. To me, whatever comes, we'll find a way to be ready for it. And we're still full speed ahead. Still, global domination of Miri is our humble goal. And we just need more. I mean, to me, again, I guess final word, one thing I've learned in 27 years of doing this, it's all about people. It's who you have on your team that makes you winner or loser. You know, everyone's going to face the same situation. Some will endure and survive, and some will fail. Same situation for all of them. It's the people you have, how they deal with it. So we're good to go on that. I mean, when I was driving a truck, I'd leave the terminal in Buffalo, the Red Star terminal, and there's a sign at the gate that said, "Outside of these gates, you are Red Star Express." And it's true, because the customer didn't know George Coleman, the terminal manager, or, you know, the owner. He knew me, the driver that came every day. So I was representing that company, and that's kind of how I feel. The customers we have love us, not because of me. They love us because the person that handles their operations doesn't let them down. That's what I mean. It's about people.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.